So every 2 years across America, kids are given a series of tests designed to assess things like arts, economics, geography, US history, technology, science, basically everything. And a quick look at the results shows two extremely visible and obvious trends. Since the 90s, grades were going up quite steadily until the mid-2010s when they begin to crash. It's not just the US that's been showing this struggle. Places like Germany, Iceland, Norway, and Poland have all seen pretty significant drops, even just between 2018 and 2022 on this similar assessment. There are much better answers to this question than to just pin it all on one word: screens. Obviously that's a factor, but I think just blaming screens is a little bit lazy. So we're going to try and get inside the numbers, see if we can figure out what's going on here. Now, obviously the first thing to mention is that these numbers clearly got quite a lot worse around 2019. You know, I graduated from university in 2020, so I was just mainly baking bread and playing Rocket League around this time. But the kids that had to stay in school had it a bit harder. Schools were either closed or moved online, and so it's not that surprising that grades reflected this. But the one thing that is maybe a little bit strange is that it's been a couple of years now since kids are mostly back in school full time, but their grades have not really seen a recovery to those pre-pandemic levels. And part of this is because it doesn't really matter if schools are online or in person, if people aren't even going to school. Chronic absenteeism, which is the percentage of kids that don't attend school regularly, has steadily increased since the pandemic and is still hitting like kind of record high levels. The target in the US at least is fewer than 10% of kids to be chronically absent from school. The reality is that there's not a single state in the US that's actually hitting this 10% target. And if you look at the percentage of students that are actually chronically absent in public schools in the US, it's hitting some pretty worrying highs. 43% in New Mexico, 23% in Texas, 41% in Arizona. Every single state is above its 10% target of chronically absent kids. And even as other statistics might have returned to pre-pandemic norms, chronic absenteeism has stayed at record highs. Over in the UK, we have a situation where around 1 in 5 kids around the country is missing 10% or more of school, which is extremely concerning. And there's a lot of things that are like encoded in this statistic, but it's one of the big drivers behind kids struggling to actually perform on international tests of aptitude. And I do think this is weird because, you know, I'm old, right? I'm reaching unk status. I've seen my hairline in the mirror before. But when I remember my time at school, school was never really considered like an option for me. And I would still imagine that most kids aren't deciding themselves whether they should be in school. So what's happening here? Well, one thing that's worth mentioning is that obviously chronic absenteeism hits poorer kids the most, but absenteeism has actually been on the rise amongst kids of all demographics. It seems to suggest that there's something that's affecting kids and parents a bit more broadly. And we can't ignore the elephant in the room, I have to say it right, which is the screens. They are a big part of the problem. Because not only have the performance drops been significantly smaller in kids that spend less than an hour online, 45% of students reported feeling nervous or anxious if their phone wasn't physically near them, and 65% reported being distracted by digital devices in at least some of their math classes. So education's a famously controversial topic, and depending on who you listen to, you'll get completely different explanations for the issues facing it. It's pretty clear that to get a full picture of the problems, you need to look beyond individual headlines and examine multiple perspectives. That's why I've been working with Ground News. They're a website and app founded by a former NASA engineer, which gathers news from around the world and from across the political spectrum. Lately in the US, the Department of Education has been at risk of closure. It's a controversial issue that's been reported on by 434 sources on Ground News. However, it might surprise you to know that it's actually been underreported by both left and right-leaning outlets, with the focus being instead on centrist outlets. The right-leaning outlets that did report on the issue focused on the fulfillment of campaign promises and describing the closure as a shutdown, whereas center to left-leaning outlets emphasize more of the potential risks and pitfalls, instead using words like gutting and reporting on the protests. This information is especially well organized in their blind spot feature, which is designed to bring you stories that you've likely missed based on your own individual political biases, like this handy story about updates to California's high-speed rail, which was actually barely reported on left-leaning outlets. Just like you might need good, high-quality data to understand education, Ground News helps you look beyond just one news source to get a more complete understanding of today's important issues. They've really helped me, and if you're interested, then you can go to ground.news/fads for a better way to stay informed. You can subscribe through my link for 40% off unlimited access to worldwide coverage. Thank you so much to Ground News for sponsoring this video. Let's get back to it. The effect of screens isn't necessarily just purely in terms of distracting them, but it's also having like actual tangible mental health effects on kids today. And the big impact is being spread not only across kids who are themselves using the devices, but across the whole classroom, and leading to lower class scores across the board. This is even after you account for socioeconomic status. But I do think there is a question worth asking. Do test scores like even matter that much? Are lower test scores on these international tests of comparison like that big of a problem? What's way more important than the tests, in my opinion, is the ability to critically reason and think and do all that stuff that's not represented in a single test score. And unfortunately, despite the fact that we actually have access to more knowledge than ever, the share of teens that's been reporting difficulty like learning and concentrating has been on a steady incline even before the pandemic. This to me is arguably a bigger problem than specific test scores, because it seems to imply that the issue is not just that the tests aren't necessarily accurately measuring the skills that would translate into day-to-day life, but that the effect actually cascades out into your wider life. But this is a much broader issue than just affecting kids' ability to think and concentrate. Because when we look at adults, they're not immune from the foibles of technology and from the damage that technology can cause to you cognitively. The OECD has another study that it carries out along with the UK's Department of Education. It's called the Survey of Adult Skills, and it's basically designed to see how well adapted adults are to the current world and whether they actually have the same skills that they need to be able to operate day to day. And they're not doing that much better. The report shows that over the last decade, we've seen the socioeconomic gap in literacy has been widening. So poorer people are showing lower ability on reading comprehension and literacy. The average literacy level has stagnated and declined in most developed countries and economies. And often the share of low performers in literacy has increased. You would expect maybe countries that have had higher levels of migration from non-English speaking regions of the world to have a lower average English level. But even when you account for demographic change, you still see the same effect. The average reading age in the US is somewhere around that of like a 12 or 13 year old, which poses a lot of problems that permeate past just the issues that kids are having. And if parents lack the skills to support the kids, then it's not that surprising that the average level of skill within kids is going down. But there's two parts of this equation, because some kids do go into school, and for those kids, we'd expect to see more progress. However, the teachers are having a pretty rough time lately. If you've got any friends who work in education, I suggest you ask them what their experience being a teacher is like. Education is not really the best gig at the minute, and teachers are now starting to quit in record numbers, especially younger teachers who are much more relatable to kids and pretty necessary in a more digital world. And I want you to guess, what do you think the top reason why teachers are leaving is? It doesn't take a genius to figure out why teachers might be leaving. And as you all guessed correctly, the number one reason why teachers are leaving is in fact compensation, followed by expectations. And this is despite the fact that the majority of teachers say that their work is well and truly meaningful to them, and the meaning that they find in their work is the main reason why they want to keep doing it. The average wage of public school teachers has been broadly stagnant for the last couple of decades. They've seen increases, to be fair, in things like pensions, and in most of these years, there's been a benefits advantage. But that doesn't encourage a young teacher who's just joined the workforce, and it disproportionately advantages teachers who are really close to retiring. What might surprise you, though, is that education budgets are actually pretty high these days, but that money has not really gone to teachers, because a lot more of it has gone to leadership and management roles, basically school administration. And I think school administration can be a bit of a boogeyman, but it's quite hard to deny that there's not a huge rift between the experience of school teachers and the experience of school administrators. And the easiest way to see that is to ask school administrators why they're thinking of quitting, and to ask school teachers why they're thinking of quitting. And you see suddenly very different responses to that question. So whereas over half of school teachers say that pay is the primary reason that they want to leave, 29% of school administrators will say that pay is a problem, clearly showing that teachers' pay has taken a far harder hit than administrative pay. If you ask school administrators why they want to leave, they're way more likely to describe their own work themselves as feeling meaningless, whereas teachers are less than half as likely to describe their work as meaningless. And I think it's quite telling that school leadership themselves can often recognize that their work isn't necessarily helping the kids in the way that they would even want to. And I think this goes some way to explaining the rift between school administration and school teachers, which kind of sucks for the teachers. And you would kind of think all of this stuff that I've just told you would have a massive effect on the performance that's reported by schools. Because so far, the crashing test scores that we've described have been outside of schools. They've been when governments and states and corporations of countries carry out tests to compare cross-national results or international results. That's when we've seen the problem. Has this all affected grades given in school, though? That's a very different question. Because if you ask schools how they've been doing, you see the complete opposite trend. UCLA, right, the university, tracks a bunch of info about their new incoming students every year. And what they've noted is that schools are actually getting a bit more generous with the grades that they give. But that's not necessarily reflecting in kids being better at reasoning and being better at thinking independently and having the ability to learn new information. Part of this is just the fact that the incentive structure is kind of messed up. The teachers are incentivized to not necessarily accurately rate the performance, but skew the performance towards what will help the next batch of kids and what will help the school as a whole. It's kind of the result of meeting the target being more important than achieving the useful outcome. Any metric that becomes a target is suddenly useless. It can be, a self-fulfilling prophecy as well. If schools around you and other students are doing better as well, then every school is subtly incentivized to push the boundary a little bit. Especially if there's a chance of your school going into special measures, losing funding, or even closing down completely if your school is underperforming. The actual effect of kids finding it more difficult to think and more difficult to reason has not necessarily permeated. And just looking at internal school data will actually make you think that kids are doing better, despite the fact that they're way more likely to report difficulty thinking and concentrating today than ever in recent history. Even in the cases where kids are accurately assessed, they're taught to pass a specific test and to pass a specific set of exams and not necessarily taught the skills to actually be able to reason and tackle new situations with improved ability. We have a setup where students are chronically absent, they're distracted when they do show up, teachers are feeling underpaid and leaving, the administrators, who are the ones who are less likely to leave, are not finding the meaning in their work that teachers find, and the parents are also struggling with literacy themselves and not able to provide the support needed at home. But all of that is somewhat hidden by a system that rewards teachers inflating grades rather than one that rewards actual learning, causing this effect where school grades inside of schools have steadily been rising, whereas since the mid-2010s, international benchmarks of performance have steadily been dropping. However, the decline in educational outcomes isn't really just about kids. A lot of it is affecting people of all ages, and it's affecting how we all structure, value, interpret, and deal with information in our day-to-day lives. The low level of literacy amongst adults is as much of a problem as the struggle in concentrating amongst kids. And until we address those interconnected issues, I don't think that test scores are likely to improve anytime soon. Cell phone bans, which are becoming more common, are a good thing, but they're hardly like the smoking gun that we need to solve the problem. If neither the teachers nor the parents can provide the support that's needed to push the kids forward, then them not having a phone isn't really going to help all that much.